I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shalom, and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. Now here's your host, IBJM Ministries Director, John Lawrence.
Greetings, dear friends, and thank you for joining us today. I'm John Lawrence, the Director of Ministries at IBJM, your host. And today I'd like to talk with you about our upcoming four-day focus on Jewish missions, which always takes place in June, usually the last week in June. And this year it will be June 23rd through 26th. And we would love to have you consider attending. If you would like to know more about Jewish missions and Jewish evangelism, it's a great week, 4 days of intensive study of all of those kinds of things about how to reach Jewish people. This year, we have a number of special guests. We have our regular teacher, Brother Howard Rothenberg, who's an IBJM missionary in South Florida. He is Jewish. He's a Jewish believer. Just a very great Bible teacher. And Howard will be coming again this year. And also we'll have Jackie Powell, who is with the Society for the Distribution of the Hebrew Scriptures. And then we have Brother Sam Wilson, who will be with us as well, and as well as many of our people here at the home office who will be teaching various sessions. Brother Mark Oshman, who's our Bible teacher here on this program, he'll be teaching several sessions. So we would invite you to come, and it'll be a really great week. We also have not only the basic track, but we have an advanced track for people who come a second or third time. They can go through an advanced track and get some different sessions and expand upon their knowledge. Now, the cost for this program is $195 for an individual or $295 for a couple, and that includes everything. That includes lodging, it includes the meals for the week, and it includes the program as well. But there's one exception to that. We offer the program absolutely free, without charge, to full-time college students, that is, Bible college students, or graduating high school seniors. So if you want to come and you're a student, we would invite you to write to us, and we would be delighted to have you come as our guest at no charge. The program this year includes quite a few new things that Howard Rothenberg will be talking about, the prophet Daniel and the Jewish feasts, for example. And we will have our friend Jackie Powell teaching some basic elements of Hebrew. Another couple that will be with us this year, Geert and Martine Vanderveen, they have a ministry of Bible distribution in several countries around the world, in the Middle East, as well as in Europe, and they're going to be coming and sharing some tips for distributing the scriptures. We're going to have a session on modern anti-Semitism. You know, anti-Semitism is on the rise, and there always seems to be this undercurrent of anti-Semitism in the world, particularly strong in Europe these days. So we'll be having a session on that here. And you know, the four-day focus is a real blessing, and I'd also point out that probably more than half of our missionaries first made contact with IBJM through the four-day focus. So if you're interested in being a missionary, and maybe you are feeling called to Jewish missions, we would love to have you attend this program, the four-day focus, and consider IBJM as a partner for your ministry in going forth as a missionary to Jewish people. The last couple of years, we haven't had too many people interested in full-time missions. It seems to be on the decline in America these days. You can pray that the Lord will send us some potential applicants who will be people who are thinking about full-time missions. We would love to have some of those people attending the four-day focus this year. Again, guest speakers Howard Rothenberg and Jackie Powell and Sam Wilson. We'll also have one of our French missionaries here, Brother Philippe Plouchon and his family, and he'll be sharing some things with us about the work in France. A lot of practical sharing about different ministries of our missionaries who come and are also attending the focus with us. So you come and you be a part of that. If you want more information, you can call Jennifer Beneke or myself here at the mission at area code 423-876-8150. I encourage you not to miss this opportunity to learn more about Jewish missions and evangelism. We'd love to have you come and join us. Now, let's listen to Jewish believer Brother Mark Oshman as he brings today's Bible message.
Welcome back to another session of our radio broadcast. For the first half of this session, we'll look at Jewish objections to the gospel based upon Jewish comparisons between Judaism and Christianity. Jews might assert that Judaism is a morally superior religion to Christianity, based upon three assertions. First, Christians see the world as intrinsically evil, while Jews do not. Second, Christians denounce marriage, but Jews do not. And third, Christianity calls for self-renunciation, but Judaism does not. Let's deal with each of these three contentions in order. Does Judaism have a more truthful view of evil than Christianity does? Not according to the Bible. Christianity posited that the whole world lieth in wickedness, according to 1 John chapter 5. The Old Testament paints the same picture of the human race. For example, take the statement in Jeremiah chapter 17, quote, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked," unquote. The sentiment expressed in Jeremiah's prophecy seems to be in concord with the opinion that John expressed. From this argument, we can go into the second assertion. Does Judaism have a nobler view of marriage than Christianity? The Old Testament exalted the marital state. However, not all Jews in the Old Testament were monogamous. Gideon of the Judges had many wives. David had at least 8 wives. Solomon had 700 wives. Under the Mosaic law, therefore, marital fidelity to one woman was not exclusively practiced by Jews. On the other hand, Christian doctrine discourages divorce amongst its leadership. Elders of the church, as recorded in Paul's epistle to Titus, chapter 1, elders of the church had to be the husband of one wife. The same requirement Paul confirmed in the 3rd chapter of 1 Timothy. What about divorce? Under the Mosaic law, men could put away their wives, a procedure recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 24. Yet the 2nd chapter of Malachi provided God's insight as to how the Jewish husbands of his day abused that prerogative. Compare that with the New Testament depiction of divorce. In the 19th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, some Pharisees asked Jesus Christ his opinion about divorce. Here was his reply. Quote, "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh? Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Unquote. When these men pointed to the provision by divorce that Moses included in the book of Deuteronomy, the Savior rejoined, quote, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery." Unquote. The standards of Jesus Christ on this subject, as in other areas, exceeded that held by his Jewish contemporaries. Biblical Christianity does not degrade marriage, though the Apostle Paul chose to remain unmarried and even wished that others were like-minded, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul also asserted that he had the right to have a wife. In Hebrews chapter 13, the author of that epistle wrote that, quote, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled," unquote. Biblical Christianity elevates marriage at least as much as Judaism does. As for self-renunciation, both Judaism and Christianity called for their adherents to give God the preeminence. The greatest commandment of Judaism was that contained in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where God demanded that the Jewish people love him with all their heart, all their soul, and all their mind. As for Christianity, Jesus Christ told his followers in Matthew chapter 6 that they needed to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He followed that up in the 16th chapter of Matthew with this call to discipleship. Quote, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Unquote. Both Judaism and Christianity teach the prevalence of evil in this world. Christianity is at least as respectful of the institution of marriage as Judaism is. Both Christianity and Judaism call upon men to place their allegiance to God above their loyalty to self. The standards of biblical Christianity are, as a minimum, as noble as the standards held by Judaism. Some Jews also believe that Christianity teaches its adherents unnatural emotions or feelings. One such example they might cite is the command for Christians to love their enemies. Loving enemies goes in hand with showing enemies mercy. Mercy is one of the divine attributes frequently mentioned by Old Testament authors. In 2 Samuel 22, David praised God for his mercy that he showed. Psalm 118 constantly repeated the refrain that God's mercy endured forever. In the 5th chapter of Isaiah, the prophet wrote that God will show mercy to the wicked person who returned unto him. The command to love one's enemies is not strictly a New Testament interpretation. The Old Testament provided numerous examples of when God exhorted the Jewish people to show mercy to their foes. For example, in Exodus chapter 23, the law of Moses required a Jew to lend assistance if he saw his enemy's ox or donkey trapped in a pit. Furthermore, the Old Testament provided several examples of how people treated their foes kindly. David refrained from taking vengeance upon King Saul, as recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 26. When David saw King Saul asleep, he withheld his hand from striking him and killing him. In the first chapter of 2 Chronicles, God went on record as commending Solomon for not asking God to take the life of his, Solomon's, enemies. The author in Proverbs 25 summed up the divine perspective on doing good to your enemies. Quote, "If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee." Unquote. In the 5th chapter of Matthew, Jesus Christ instructed his followers to love their enemies and to pray for those who persecuted them. Such an attitude may not be natural, but it clearly echoed teachings already contained in the Old Testament. Some Jews might point to the existence of denominations in Christianity and say that the existence of such groups show that Christians cannot agree amongst themselves. Such questioners need to be reminded that Judaism too has its divisions. Orthodox Judaism, Conservative Judaism, Reform Judaism, Reconstructionist Judaism, among others. Biblical Christianity retains certain core beliefs, such as the deity of Jesus Christ, his virgin birth, his substitutionary atonement, and his resurrection from the dead. Many of the denominational distinctives, such as the nature of baptism, many denominational distinctives arise from different interpretations of the Bibles. Jews and Gentiles alike would do well to study the Scriptures. Some Jews might take offense at what they perceive as the exclusivity of Christianity's claims. They might say that Christianity is only one religion among many, and that it's highly arrogant to believe that the only way to come to God is through Jesus Christ. However, a statement is not arrogant if it happens to be true. It isn't haughty to, say, insist that the combined angles of a triangle must equal 180 degrees. Why should people believe that absolute truth exists in mathematics, but not in the spiritual sphere? Christianity will stand or fall upon the truthfulness of Jesus Christ. In the 14th chapter of John, he declared that no one could come to the Father except by him. Those who take issue with this declaration have an obligation to provide evidence that demonstrates its falseness. All roads to Rome may be a popular saying. Nevertheless, it's untrue. Anyone trying to get to Rome, whether they travel by land, by sea, or by air, anyone who tries to get that Rome must eventually acknowledge that all paths do not, in fact, lead to that city. So it is in the spiritual sphere. If biblical Christianity is not the only path to God, those who claim that to be true need to produce demonstrable evidence to that effect. If they do, they will go against the statement that Peter made before the Jewish council in Acts chapter 4, namely that beside the name of Jesus Christ, there is no other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. We've come to the end of another session about answering Jewish objections to the gospel. Please come back for future lessons on our radio broadcast.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.